is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Bran, and I love Signed, Sealed, Delivered. I almost said Winkle's Art.
Hey, it's Panda, and I like Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
I'm Dan, and I despise Signed, Sealed, Delivered, and this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah. Yes. Doom and Naked Turn, Donna. What's that?
No, Dear Slim.
Dear Slim, yeah. That's the thing. What's the na-na-na in that part?
Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na. To whom it may concern. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, I forgot.
Na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
No, it's na-na-na-na-na-na. Na-na-na-na-na-na.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Slim.
Oh, my gosh.
I never wrote Joe Herbert Cole.
My name is Stan, son. Now we never met. And what does he say? Now we never met in? Metin? Did he say met and make it two syllables and throw in there?
We never met.
I've always, nah, we never met in. Yeah. Dude, you're not rapping.
Dude, the very fact that he like tried to pair himself with Eminem, it's embarrassing.
And he's probably made over $1 million because of it.
You think so?
Yes.
Probably.
My name is Stan, son. Now we never met in.
I saw KJ not too long ago, within the last 5 years.
You and I got down a YouTube rabbit hole. You remember this rabbit
hole? I saw KJ a couple years ago at a student conference.
He's got a YouTube channel like 57 followers.
Oh, yeah. He's got a podcast as well. But KJ does a great bit because these kids have no idea who KJ is.
The kids don't even know who Eminem is.
No, yeah, I'm excited to see KJ5 too. But by the way, doesn't do Dear Slim anymore for the kids. I don't think they quite get it. But he does a great bit where he walks on stage and he goes, "Who wants a shirt?" And all the kids go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then he puts the shirt down and he just keeps doing it throughout the show. And then finally at the very end, he throws out the shirt. It's a great K. That's a pro move. Keeps the crowd entertained, engaged. Dear Slim.
Never met him.
Well, now that we did that, I got the KJ52. Yeah. Guys, vacuums. I'm just going down the list here.
Yeah. Show prep's important.
What are your thoughts on wired versus wireless vacuums?
You got to go wired.
Gotta go wired.
You don't get the same suction with the wireless.
That's true, you don't.
The battery just...
I'll be honest. I have never had or used a wireless vacuum that I go, that was great.
Nope.
It's never happened.
I didn't expect this to be serious vacuum talk, but we got here. We have a Dyson corded vacuum.
We do.
And it's the best.
It's, what was it, $10?
Yeah, it was
They nothing. Paid us to take it.
Yeah, and we got a Dyson cordless, and it would work really well for about 3 minutes.
Yep.
And it's like, what am I doing? Just getting a little hit of vacuum? Just a little taste?
Yeah.
A little taste of vacuum?
I still stand by the fact those old school ones, you know the ones I'm talking about, the big clunkers with the old school.
With the bags.
Not the one with the clear suction
Eyes,
where you can see
full hearts.
Yeah. Can't lose. That's clear, boys. I'm just talking the ones with the big old bags. Those are the ones, man. They go in there and they just, man.
Dude, as long as you keep the filter clean, the Dyson vacuums are great.
It's great.
They never lose suction.
And the promo code for the Dyson is suck it. What is it?
It's not suck it. I don't remember. We'll have to trace. What is it, Trace?
It's Dyson Deckers.
Dyson Balls. Dyson Balls with a Z. The vacuum cleaner is a ball. There's a ball it rolls on so you can get in the tight nooks and crannies. Yeah, what are you looking at me like I'm crazy? It's a ball.
The promo
that
code
rolls.
Is Dyson balls with a Z.
With a Z. So you get your discount.
I'll be really quick, but I know we got things to do. You saw Zig Ziglar?
Oh, I saw him live. He came over to Fitzy's. I booked him.
You booked him?
I did.
That was one of your first things.
That was the first thing. I gotta get Zig over there.
How is booking shows going?
It's not been great COVID-wise.
Yeah?
Yeah, we don't allow masks or vaccines.
Sure.
I mean, I had to get one, you know, to work here with you nut jobs, but we don't allow them down at Fitzy's.
So how
wait
do
a
you,
minute, how are you working at Fitzy's?
No, I'm above the law. It's pretty straightforward.
Is this like a reverse Aaron Rodgers thing?
Yes.
Where you tell them that you haven't?
That's exactly right. I said I've not been immunized.
Right. It's a classic reverse.
Which is true, because I've never had a tetanus shot.
Right.
That's how you get in big trouble. You ever seen
you
E.T.?
You haven't had your tetanus shot?
You ever seen E.T.?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, that's what happens if you get your tetanus.
You're telling me the E.T. the E.T. alien.
E.T. stands for extra tetanus.
Extra tetanus.
Extra tetanus.
No one's asking you to get
You already have tetanus, and when you get the shot, you get extra tetanus, you can turn into an alien.
So you're telling me.
On M&Ms.
I don't think that that's accurate.
Oh, it's accurate.
Dude, Facebook's going to shut us down right now if you keep doing this. Can't keep saying this. E.T. does not stand for extra tetanus.
It stands for extra tetanus.
So if
I'm not worried about 5G, though. I'm worried about 6G.
What's 6G?
It's where they come to your house and they punch you in your face.
Why is it called 6G?
6G.
You can't just say it again.
I say it.
But somehow it made sense to me when he said it again. This is what's amazing about Rick. He says things that don't make sense, but then when he says it again, you're just like, that might.
You're operating accurate. On my level. Same wavelength. Extra tetanus.
6G.
6G.
Thanks, Rick. I guess. I don't know. I'm on the fence, to be honest with you. Signed, sealed, delivered to whom it may concern. We're back at KJ. Originally aired on April 27th.
No, we never met him.
Hey, update, 20% battery life.
Ooh, oh, boy. Man, that's a long-lasting battery there.
Originally aired on April 27th,
2014. Rip is back and he's doing his stack. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
I got some baby backs over here. They're finger licking good. I got them from Stumpy's Smokehouse, 2014.
I thought you had your own.
What?
Didn't you have your own barbecue joint?
No, I don't have my own barbecue joint. I'm here for ribs and colon dibs on 2014. I'm not selling you ribs, you dumb stuff.
I thought for sure he had his own.
No.
I could have sworn
he eats the ribs. Finger smacking good.
I thought he had.
Anybody got a wet nap? Do you have a wet nap?
Yes, we have wet naps.
Yes. Can you hand me one? My hands are. If I reach for it, it's going to be a mess.
Then go get one.
Just float me a wet nap.
I'm not going to float you. I'm not going to float you.
Float me one.
I'm not going to float you one.
Float me a wet nap.
I'm not going. I don't have one on me. They're in
you
the wet nap
drawer.
We do have them, but
float
I cannot.
Me a wet nap.
I can't float
do
you
me
one.
A solid. Spare
Tracy,
a nap.
Float him a wet nap.
Float me a nap, Tracy.
What'd you call me?
Tracy.
Thank you. Here it is. Up top.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's lemon scented, too. It's almost as good as a baby back. I shouldn't have eaten it.
Wait, you ate the wet nap?
Can I have another one for my hands?
A little something like this. The episode starts off with a girl who is sleeping. She's having these crazy war dreams. And the next day, she writes a letter. Cut to the post office crew, and they're all stressed out about their performance review. What are they going to get? Shane decides to work through lunch, but it's, quote, impossibly ripped and mangled day, which means that they picked the most ripped and mangled letter to figure out today. This one is postmarked 4 years ago. So Shane convinces them all, hey, let's go take this investigation over to the place and eat some food. The letter is from Shamelia. Is that what it was? Do you guys remember?
Shamelia?
That's her name, right?
That's what
Shamil.
Shamil. Yeah, I was about to say, it's not Shamil.
Shamil. And she's looking for.
I think it's just Shamil.
Huh?
Shamil, not Shamil.
Yeah, Shamil.
Okay, Shamil. I don't know what happened here because it's different. The rest of the way I don't have
that. What did you originally call her?
Shamelia. Yes, I have Shamelia. Shamelia
makes a mean rib. Still waiting on that second nap.
Can you float him one?
Wet nap too.
Big fast.
Deuce. I got it. Thank
you. She's been looking for this person.
That stings in my cuticles.
She's looking for someone who saved her life.
It's a cuticle sting.
And
Rippy's down.
She's looking for the person who saved her life, and she's been looking for a very long time, and she sends a request to the military release papers, and that's what this thing is. She doesn't know his name. She just called him Buzz, your girlfriend, woof. And there's another letter within the letter that's meant for Buzz. Shane wants to open it, Oliver says, we just got to forward this to the army. They'll handle it. So they take it to the captain that they find of the army, and he just puts in a stack of papers. Shane says, that's not going to be good enough for me. Slides that extra buzz letter into her bag. Oliver's upset, but she tells him, we know that we can find Buzz because we're good at what we do. Buzz was a soldier in Afghanistan, and Buzz meets Samila. Samila?
Yes, Samila.
And gives her some socks, teaches her to read, works with her to open a school to teach other kids English. And one day, the Taliban launches an attack on the school, which wounds Samila. And Buzz rescues her, puts her on a helicopter, and she never sees him again. She wants to find him so that she can thank him. And they find out that she is in college now in America. So they do the math and they figure out she's going to graduate soon. 4 years. That's how that works. That's cool. So the mission now is to find Buzz before graduation. They go and they track down Samila for more clues. And it leads them to Peg's Practically Perfect Brownies, which is now a business. But it was started by Buzz's mom, and she would send brownies over there. And so they go to talk to her, and she says that she's not sure where Buzz is. Buzz's real name is Benjamin, by the way. He came home from war, and he just kind of goes missing, and she hasn't heard from him in a year. Last time she said, hey, can I send you some brownies? And he's like, I don't deserve brownies. So he's going, he's having a tough time. She gives the crew brownies to give to him when they find him. They go to talk to the captain again, which leads them to a church, which leads them to Buzz. Buzz is now a part of a ministry that helps homeless veterans, and he now has a huge beard, long hair, and is clearly having a tough time. And they give him the letter. They tell him that that Samila is who she is today because of him. He should be proud. He says that it's my fault that her village was destroyed, and Oliver gives his impassioned speech that he should be celebrated for his sacrifice. She is who she is now and impacting the people that she is because of your what you did for her. And Buzz stands up, shakes his hand, and is like, let's do this thing. So they now work to give Buzz a makeover, which Teresa is thrilled to help with. He shows up at the graduation, and she gives a valedictorian speech about how Buzz changed her life, inspired her to help at-risk students who are here today. They all stand up. It's like, yay. And towards the end of the speech, he walks towards the stage. She jumps off. They hug. Everyone cheers. Yeah. After that, the captain shows up, gives him his purple heart. The crew then heads off to see Teresa and her Wizard of Oz performance, which she crushes, and she then quits the post office to pursue acting, and she tells them that they get 100% on their performance review, which has never happened before, apparently, and she gives a very Wizard of Oz farewell to each of them, and that, my friends, was signed, sealed, delivered, to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. I sang
Slim.
We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be right back here on
Deck the Hallmark.
Deck the Hallmark. Signed, sealed, delivered.
I'm yours.
We're talking signed, sealed, delivered, and we're talking the second episode of the first season, the third installment that we have seen.
Yep. Yep.
To whom it may concern. Let's talk about it. Let's start with a hot take. Panda.
You know what's wild is that we have this opportunity. The postables are all over the internet.
Yep.
To get a whole new audience to listen to our podcast and like join us year round. Maybe join Bramble Jam Plus. And instead, what we do is we take the opportunity to throw as many like bits, clips, voices into the first 10 minutes to alienate as many newcomers as we possibly can.
We don't want them to get the wrong idea.
That's true. No, no. And that is, and that makes us, it's admirable. It shows some integrity.
Yep.
If we played it straight laced and then they listen to anything else, it'd be a mess. So we did it the way we should do it.
Yep. No bait and switch here, guys.
I'm glad we talked it through.
You get what you get.
Yeah.
We are who we are.
Speaking of bait and switch, a Kenmore vacuum. You don't want any part
get
of that.
Get out of here. No. Kenmore?
No. Sorry, go ahead.
Pay just it. No suction whatsoever. here's what I'll say. This episode has been so far my least favorite of the Signed, Sealed, Delivered. I still like this show a lot.
This is a fan favorite. This is, everyone says, this is the one.
Yeah, it didn't. You know. I hear you. Didn't do a lot for me. I didn't think that it was bad by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just telling you, for me personally, it's my least favorite of the ones we have seen so far. Still, it's a doggone good story. And that's what I think that the thing I'm appreciating about Science Sealed Delivered is that these are great stories.
So if it's a doggone good story, then what did you not like about it?
For troops?
No, I thought the troops were
just
fine.
Say it.
But like,
just say it. I mean, you don't like the troops.
So
this is a better story than the nursing home story, but the episode's worse?
No, for me personally, I liked the idea of, well, I think the thing that shocked me, let me say this, what I liked about the first of the TV episodes was the plot twist that they are in witness protection. I like that. That was an exciting thing. There's like somebody who's possibly going to die. Here, you're trying to connect with somebody who you haven't seen in a long time. That's still a good story. It's just not as keep me on the edge of my seat. Oh, snap. Somebody's going to get killed. There's a little boy running for his life. There's a mob. I mean, that's wild. And I'm here for that all day long. But in this case, I'm not saying it's not, but
it's
like,
a doggone good story.
It's a doggone good story. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not as exciting
to me. You don't like the troops. Just say it.
I love the freaking troops. Freaking troops are awesome. I loved it. Loved it. It was great.
I feel like you really overcorrected there by calling them freaking troops. But
so good.
Yeah. On the other side of this fence altogether, I love this episode. I thought it was so good. And I typically don't like the troops. And what I mean by that is I typically don't like
I typically don't like the troops.
I don't like Hallmark troop stuff. Mm. Everybody likes the Christmas card. Ugh. Don't like that at all. Typically, I don't really feel like it does anything good with that material. I loved this episode. I thought it was really great. And man, when he came up and she jumped off and they hugged, just waterworks for your boy Bran over here eating my sweethearts. And so just a big old bag of sweethearts, man. And I'll tell you what, Brock's, you can get the H-E-double-L hockey sticks out of here.
H-E-double-L hockey sticks. Yeah. You ruined it.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, Bran loves the Valentine's Day sweethearts, not sweet tarts, but only one brand. So if you're going to send them, because Bran will eat a full bag in a sitting.
No problem.
But the brand has to be?
Sweethearts.
Just the brand sweethearts.
Just brand sweethearts.
Got it.
If you send me Brock's, they will go right into the trash where they belong.
Wow.
But not this episode. I love this episode. Thought it was fantastic. It gave me feels. I thought the story was the best of the story so far. And so for that reason, big wins for Bran.
Yeah, so the reason that the troops are tough in Hallmark is because it panders. It doesn't tell an authentic troop story. When Hallmark does the troops, it's always pandering to this idea that typically isn't a real idea. And I felt that very strongly in this episode. I did not care for this episode. And in all honesty, it would have been a complete and utter wash of an episode for me and my least favorite were it not for one Eric Mabius, who gives two speeches or two scenes where he gives performances that are so stinking good that it sells the whole ideal of what they're doing here. The rest of it wasn't for me. Just wasn't. So far, the movie's my favorite of the three. The rest of it wasn't for me. I'm sorry. It wasn't. Eric maybe assists some things in two scenes that I really liked. The rest of this felt pandering. It felt manipulative. And it felt just saccharine and not authentic to me. And maybe that just means I'm a terrible person. But, you know, and we do this every time. Both my grandfathers served in the military and you know, received different commendations for doing so. One died of wounds of World War II. The other was, you know, a staff sergeant for 23 years. Very important to me. But this isn't it for me. It just isn't. I don't know what to tell you. Also my least favorite.
I don't have any problem being manipulated. Yeah. Just ask my ex-wife.
I don't either, because I feel like I just... I just caught it. It's nicely done. She tried to do the old bait and switch with the Kenmore, didn't she? I feel like what's wild is that it's probably the least manipulative storyline of the three. The dumb witness protection thing was ridiculous.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
The one before where she's dead, she's in this trial, and then it's like, what's that? She wasn't in the trial? Like, those two are more manipulative than this one is. But there's something about using what our troops do for us to feel good about ourselves that is tough for me. And I don't know why that's tough for me. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. It's just difficult for me. And so probably not the best forum to talk about it on this show. I just, you know, America has it. We can go. Let's do something else.
Let's get to the all the feels. Part of the show we talk about feels. Were there any to be had? I don't know, guys. Over there, you little heartless tin men over there. I'm over here just fine. Maybe it was the bag of sweethearts. I don't know. Maybe you guys should have tried that.
Ate a whole bag of sweethearts. That may have done.
It's hard not to see like kiss me, marry me, like over and over again and not get feels.
That's right. That's fair.
Panda?
I gotta be honest with you. When at the very end, when she calls him out at the graduation, she runs up to him. That's a sweet bit. Loved it.
Yep, that gave me feels. I thought his speeches were really great. And I ended up wanting
Eric Mabius is phenomenal.
Holy
in this
cow,
show. He is phenomenal.
This guy good.
He is the most compelling reason to keep watching
the
show.
The hard thing is I just don't remember him in any of the movies that we've seen him in.
To Christmas, where he was just not like, I don't remember. Like, it's just totally forgettable.
I don't know if it's him or if it's the writing. Just fits with this character in the writing so well.
The reason I think it's him is because he will go scene after scene being very rigid, and then when it's time to hit the mark,
oh my gosh.
Oh boy, does he hit it.
And you know what? Also, the one other feels that I had, which was just I had fun watching this scene and the writing take place, was him having a hard time with the way that she was doing her salad. And like, she's trying to talk about the letter, and he keeps bringing everything back to the salad.
Yeah.
It was very, and then he started just talking in ways that could also be about the letter or about the salad.
Yeah.
I thought that was great.
That was fun. I gotta be honest, the scene that does it for me with this is I feel like this guy has served before in his character, Oliver has served in the armed forces, and I could be wrong. But the scene that does it for me is when he turns from the gang reading the letter and tears up as he's reading it, because everything going through his head is I've been there. My heart breaks that this soldier never got any sort of recognition, and he's out there. He's either out there needing something, or probably more likely he's dead. He never came back. And the rest of them don't realize that yet. Mm. And his performance there was the most authentic moment in this show for me.
Yep.
And it was almost enough for me to just give it a thumbs up. It's that good. It is that good. I was very impressed with what he did. And then the speech he gives also really works for me. Like, I just feel like Eric Mabius should be an attorney in shows, and I can watch him in courtroom dramas give these speeches, because, man, he's really, really good. So I did get some feels out of it, for sure.
Let's take one more quick break. We'll come back with the way what and the what the hallmark. Here, no,
we don't do that. Post worker of the week.
Yeah. Exactly right here, like the hallmark. This is really exciting. KJ52 has now, he's charted because of our show.
Wow, what's chart?
The top song of the year.
We already had a podcast, and I think it's got like 8 ratings and reviews. My man KJ.
Hold on, that can't be right. KJ, I'm gonna look it up here in a second. Panda, you go with the wait what. What made you say wait what while you're watching this?
Honestly, I didn't really have a lot in this episode. The biggest thing was at the very end, the boss just transitions to getting ready to do show business really quick. I mean, it was the weirdest ending, I think, to just escorting her off. Like, it was just, I'm here for it. I laughed, but it was just, it was super random. That was really the only thing. Everything else, pretty airtight episode.
Pretty airtight.
Pretty airtight.
Doggone good story.
Dave, doggone good story.
Least favorite.
Least favorite. Because that's how good the show is, Dan.
I will say this. After watching the first two, I probably was a little too hard on the movie.
Yeah, that's right. You were. I said best thing Hallmark's ever made. So it's probably somewhere.
Yeah. I did listen to that episode back and think, Bran also probably overshot.
I was riding real high, y'all. Yeah. 2 ratings for KJ52's podcast.
Oh, just two. Sorry. I gave him 4 times the amount of ratings that he's
I want to have. Everybody, and you can do what you want. I don't know what KJ's talking about on his podcast, so please don't take this as an endorsement. But just go give him some ratings, whatever you want to give him. I don't care. 3, 4, 1 does not matter to me.
He's going to wake up the next morning.
KJ52 podcast.
No, we got to have him say something. Say, we never met him.
Say, Deck the Hallmark sent me.
Deck the Hallmark sent me. Give him a rating and review. He's going to wake up and be blown away.
KJ52. My biggest problem with this episode is the fact that I don't buy that packaged brownies being sent across oceans can possibly be practically perfect.
Chock full of preservatives. Gotta be.
They are either... you can't get them after you, because it's not just going to another country. Like you know how long stuff takes to get to the troops, like to go through all the things. By the time those brownies get there, there's no way that anyone tastes those and goes, that's practically perfect. That is practically speaking, perfect. There's no way.
No,
there's no way. That happened. That's all, Dan.
So Valerie Harper's character, who was only around for 2 episodes, and then she's leaving to go be a professional actress. This may have been on purpose, played for laughs. She says, "I'm an understudy, and there's 2 parts now that have openings because somebody got sick." And the 2 parts are like different parts. And she goes, "These 2 parts have openings, and that means I may be able to be the Wicked Witch of the West." Is everybody rotating over to lesser parts?
Maybe.
So an understudy can be Wicked Witch of the West? So she's like, the Tin Man and one of the flying things are out. So I get to be Wicked Witch of the West?
Yeah, I don't understand.
How does that make
Maybe
sense?
Maybe the original Wicked Witch became...
Pops into the Tin Man. And so they're shifting her to
a lesser part. But I would argue, Wicked Witch is...
is a bigger deal, especially the other one. The other part's not one of the main people at all.
I mean, unless maybe she's done Wicked Witch a lot and like, stretching herself.
She going to really have a career in local? Like, is this really going
to
be a lucrative
thing? Valerie Harper. She can do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah, but not in this.
I get the feeling it's just a retirement situation where she can just act.
Okay, that's fine.
I have a couple questions about the salad bar restaurant they go and eat at. Number one, if your restaurant is a salad bar restaurant, everyone should be sitting at tables.
Yeah.
Don't make people do the, where am I putting my...
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
can you imagine the 3 of us trying to eat salads just sitting like we're sitting right now?
I would accidentally stab my leg with a fork.
And then they make it. Yeah. No, for sure. They make a point to saying on this evening only, the salad bar is all you can eat. Do you know of, maybe it's because we live in the South and we're all just used to buffets, but do you know of a salad bar where you go and make your own salad that isn't all you can eat?
Yeah, Ruby Tuesdays allowed you 1 trip.
Oh, dude, the last time I went to Ruby Tuesdays with you, I went to that salad bar as many times. It was unlimited.
Yeah, but
back at one point, in the day, years and years ago.
Same with Jason's Deli.
But it's years and years ago.
It's a 1 spot.
Now it's a 1 spot?
At least
I do think Jason's Deli is a 1 spot.
Really?
Yeah. You can buy the unlimited.
But the one
they have unlimited all the time.
They have an unlimited.
But the one that comes with your meal, like as a side, is a 1 spot. But you can build your own salad.
Jason's Deli since
so I mean, if you're telling me, on Wednesdays it's all you can eat with my like, if I'm getting a sandwich and then it's all you can eat salad, I will run you out of salad business.
I think that they'll take that bet because you're in the door for free ice cream and a sandwich. They may fill you up a little bit. And lettuce isn't that expensive. Not after the Spanish Inquisition, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been to Jason's Deli since I may have been in high school, so I'm fine.
They're the best deli of all time.
Okay, all right, buddy. She asked someone to bring her the Tabasco sauce. She didn't say the hot sauce. She says Tabasco sauce. They bring her a bottle of Cholula.
Not the same.
Not the same. Very different.
Very different.
Very different. If you're gonna say bring me the Tabasco,
you better bring the Tabasco.
Why say it? Just say bring me the hot sauce. Bring me the Tabasco. Here's a bottle of Cholula.
To even try to compare those two is offensive.
It is offensive.
It's offensive.
With the noticeable wood grain top. I mean, yes. What are we doing here? Signs of delivered? Just
stop
be
it.
Better. And then lastly, it is really hard for me to feel bad for this soldier who's working and he's like just doing his own thing when the wig he is wearing is just patently absurd. It is hard. That the wig he's wearing is brutal. No one took any time. They're like, it's going to be one scene, then it'll be out of it. No one will know. I know. And it's really hard for me to watch. Mm. Those are my white ones.
You can have the wig or you can have the don't forget I love you green screen. Which one are you taking?
Wig.
Wow.
Wig. Yeah. Wig.
Not even close.
Yeah. Don't forget I love you green
wig,
screen.
Wig, if you're not paying a lot of attention, you won't see it. But with the green screen, it doesn't matter how much attention you're giving it. That thing is going to pop.
No, you could be eyeballs deep in laundry. You're seeing the green screen.
All right, guys, it's time for the Postal Worker of the Week, a segment that we have not gotten any feedback on, good or bad, which is fascinating to me, because I don't know how a segment like this cannot garner any feedback.
But we haven't gotten
good or bad.
We have gotten some feedback. It is this real?
Yeah. Yep. Which... Why would we do it? Yeah,
I think that goes to show.
Why would we do it if not?
Yeah.
And I will let you sit and ponder that question. Dan, who do we have today?
We have Trevor D'Antonio.
Where's he from?
D'Antonio. D'Antonio. He is from Hatch, New Mexico, where Panda has not been, but has talked about.
I drove through it once.
Yeah.
And what's his number?
His postal number is 638-6382.
Wow. Panda, tell us about him.
Listen, one of the things I like to say about Trevor?
Trevor.
Yeah. Trevor. Trev. Is he's spicy, okay? He's got some oomph to him, right?
What does that mean?
When he delivers the mail, he delivers it with a little bit of flair. You know when Trevor's getting ready to drop off the mail.
Yeah.
He has the standard whenever he drives the little post office car. Most of them are fitted, standard horn. His standard, his little horn goes, meep, meep. Whenever and that's he
standard issue. He got that approved by the U.S.
Yeah, he did. He got that approved.
Do we have him for the questionnaire live, or is this Trace went? Are we do that anymore?
I have something special today.
Okay, what do you have, Trace?
So everyone we talked to about Trevor, said the same thing that Panda said. He does things with a flair.
Yeah.
So I have three clips.
Okay.
Of someone putting mail in a box. You have to guess. Which one is Trevor, just based on the flair of the sound of
this.
The envelopes going in the mailbox?
This is the highlight of our podcast right here.
Clip number one. Clip number two. Clip number three.
All right. This is tough.
This is not tough. It's easily clipped too. Don't tell me it's another one. There is flair. That had flair stank all over it. He should be fired for the amount of flair it had.
Panda, you feel the same way?
I don't know. You can't not say two. Come on, man. He may as well have jazz hands.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious.
It's
Yeah. Trev, we
thank
see
you, Trevor.
You. We hear you, Trev.
Thank
we
appreciate you, buddy. So good. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Enjoy it, and we'll be back on Monday with another one. Until then, maybe the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas.
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.